We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Relax. All right? My old man is a television repairman. Got this ultimate set of tools. I can fix it.
With Dusty Fan Man Hera.
I know Kung Fu.
And former pro Cam Cleland.
You ought to spend a little more time dealing with yourself, a little less time worrying about what your brother does.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
Pucker up, Buttercup.
The Fan.
All right, 55305, that is the Fan text line, brought to you by Better You today. Okay, some of these concerts we have to acknowledge and give it a little tip of the hat to. First concerts, the Beatles, Memorial Coliseum, 1965, $7.50 per ticket.
Wow.
Yeah, wrap your head around that one.
$7.50?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you can even watch outside of the arena for $7.50 now.
Doesn't even pay the gas to get there.
No. Well, what kind of rig are you driving? Rage Against the Machine and the Wu-Tang Clan opening for them. Kiss and Cheap Trick.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that'll get you. You're about to see some stuff there. And then how about the guy who texted in that he took his girlfriend to a Sarah McLachlan concert, and then later he left her for another woman. Or she left him for another woman after going to that concert. That sucks, man.
I must read this one. This one.
Just bring the bill for that one.
Yeah. This one comes from P1 Tom. Headliner. Rat. Opening act. Bon Jovi. Venue. MC 1985. I was a 14-year-old and was puked on over and over by zealous binge-drinking 20-year-olds. Scared to death, but loved it all the same time. Lots of hair. Dudes with combs in their back pockets. You didn't carry a comb in your back pocket.
No.
But those of us that did, you had to make sure it was on picture day only.
Man.
You were handed the black comb, and to make sure you were dialed in.
Dial it in. Mm-hmm. Dial that hair in. All right. We'll get to some more of the best concerts. Buck, if you see ones that come in on the Better You Today text line, 55305, why don't you just have them as bumper music? And
we'll be bumping back with those some of those artists the rest of the day.
Shall we talk a little football? You want to do some football talk?
Yeah.
You just want to keep talking music?
Foosball.
We had this discussion the other day, and it was piggybacking off a conversation that Golic and Wingo had about offensive line or defensive line, which is more important. And it's such a good conversation to have because both units are so important to each side of the ball. Well, the Jacksonville Jaguars are showing one statistic that is pretty staggering. They are spending $120 million this year on their defense alone. That is $24 million more than the next closest team in the National Football League on spending on their defense, which, I mean, that is a big number. $120 million of your salary cap is going to that side of the ball, and especially on the defensive line, mm-hmm. where they're spending $59.03 million on their four down linemen and their 4-3 front.
We mentioned it yesterday, and because I had heard it, and they were Golic and Wingo were mentioning, you know, what is the most important part of an NFL group? Well, if you're going to compare two, you're going to say offensive line or defensive line. Now, I played offense, but I, in just down to my core, believe that if you don't invest in your defensive line, you're going to be probably, arguably, one of the worst teams in football.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Now, you and I came to two different agreements or understandings is that you think that the individual of the defensive line invest in that, but as mm-hmm. a group and as a whole, the offensive line is more important. I still feel in me that the defensive line as a group is more important than the offensive line. I think a really good quarterback can survive, Notice how I said survive and manage. The ability to get rid of the football very quickly. You wouldn't be able to run it, Russell Wilson. You can still win 9 games, Russell Wilson. But if you have a bad defensive line, you're going 3-13.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Andrew Luck is a prime example. He's a good quarterback that couldn't survive it, not having a... So, well, like, I mean, and that's the thing that's tough about this conversation. You go tit for tat.
Well, he didn't survive.
There's examples of each one.
But he got to a couple AFC championship games with a really kind of rough offensive line. It's not like they were great.
Well, and then, no, those guys started retiring and leaving in free agency, and his offensive line sucked, and he got hurt. But where you look at that in this conversation with the Jaguars, who played in the AFC championship last year, and Tony Romo said just yesterday that he believes that the Jaguars will probably be playing in the Super Bowl this year. So 59.03 on the defensive line. They are spending 29.3 on their entire offensive line this year. Mm-hmm. They've got $10.4 million they're spending on guards, $9.5 million on tackles, and $9.4 million with their only center on the roster. You look at that, they use 5 offensive linemen and have more on the roster, only $29 million. They're paying $30 million alone to defensive tackles. Just defensive tackles. Mm-hmm.
And if you could say the same thing about the St. Louis Rams. LA Rams, you can apologize. The investment just on the 2 defensive tackles that they're going to have to pay with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. I always saw what Ndamukong got, but Aaron Donald's going to be set to be the highest paid defensive player in the entire league, I would bet. This is what you do now. I mean, the individual defense, being able to not run against, pass rush, the disruptors that you do. And I know there are guards that are paid well and the tackles, but... Let's be honest with it. When you look at offensive line anymore, offensive linemen feel like you could say this. There's some good ones out there, but when you don't have them, it's not the end of the world. If you don't have a defensive lineman, I'll say it again, you're garbage.
Yeah.
You have no chance at all to win in the NFL. Zero chance.
Yeah.
And I know how the defenses have changed, and I know how corners are more important, and quarterbacks are everything, but without a defensive line, none. Zero.
Which will make it very interesting to see. I mean, that's why there's got to be so much pressure on the Rams and the Jags to win this year. Think about how much money those two teams have invested in those positions in that front.
And think about what you they have invested in their quarterbacks.
I mean, nothing.
Blake Bortles has got, what did he get? I mean, he got like $12 million, $13
million. It was a very more than that.
It was a mediocre extension. It wasn't very much.
Yeah.
And you're still on a rookie deal with Jared Goff. They know the window's here.
Yeah. Bortles is on like one of those prove it salaries, and rightfully so. He didn't pop until last year, but when he did, my goodness, did he pop in an impressive fashion. But this is going to be one of those things that we sit there and you look at down the line is going in on defense wins championships. Mm. We've been told that, but everybody spends all that money on your quarterback and you pump all that money. The Rams and the Jaguars are going through like this interesting situation. Blake Bortles, by the way, $10 million is his cap hit this year.
Yeah.
He's making cheap. $10 million.
Very cheap.
Very, very cheap. He is the 5th highest paid player on their team behind Calais Campbell defensive end at 17.5, Malik Jackson, 15.5 defensive tackle, A.J. Bouye, their corner, $15 million, and then Marcel Darius at $10.175 million. And then Blake Bortles, their quarterback, who's in his second deal, way down there on that list.
I think I kind of agree with Romo. I like their chances. I really do.
So if we were to look at that now, we usually look at quarterback and we say favorites in the NFL. And obviously quarterback is a big hinge to this, mm-hmm. and they are important. But could you whittle this thing down where you can predict kind of what the playoff teams could be based on the fact of the strength of their defensive lines, and then you throw the quarterback factor in there? Could you say that? Do you feel comfortable enough saying that?
If I was to look at 2 positions in football, especially in the NFL, and I'd look at the connection with certainly your quarterback status and your defensive line. So to answer your question, yes, if you just manage it, we went through, we could predict immediately how well. Now, the volatility is something like a Houston, where how do you have a very good, a solid defensive line? You have an aging J.J. Watt, but you have a Deshaun Watson who's coming off an ACL. So you got to be like, there's so many ifs, ands, or buts. The Kansas City's, certainly the Los Angeles Chargers. My goodness, their defense is terrifying. And there, I mean, good luck in the AFC West this year by anybody. I mean, you could lock in and say, is it going to be Kansas City? No. My goodness, it could be Oakland. I think it's the Chargers. I think the Chargers win that division this year.
You know, that's one of the things that I look at and I go, everybody talks about, oh, offensive line, you got Russell Wilson, but the offensive line is terrible. Am I crazy for looking at the defensive line in Seattle this year and going, that's not the unit that we're used to?
Of course
that's
not.
I mean, that,
you lose Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill, you're losing everybody.
See, and when you look at that, who's their best defensive lineman right now in Seattle? Frank Clark? Deion Jordan?
Frank Clark could be the most experienced.
Jaron Reed?
Most versatile they have a lot of guys. They have a lot of guys that are just going to be, they're going to be in new positions. You don't have the veteran depth.
See? Yeah.
The linebackers are good. So, you know, you put the pressure on the linebackers, but yeah.
That makes me worry about Seattle this year.
I'm not worried about Seattle in any shape or fashion. They are worrying about, that division's already going to be a juggernaut. Worrying about Seattle is going that this team is going to be 6-10. Or,
well, you know, they could miss the playoffs for a second straight year. Yeah. And when you look at the worry should come with the fact that LA is here, they're in a window. San Francisco is building and trending towards that direction and growing into a window where they have got some team friendly deals and on the defensive line where guys have been performing very well on that side of the football. And I mean, they've got Solomon Thomas. DeForest Buckner has played very well for them. And what Eric Armstead is up in the air, but consistent. And then you have Earl Mitchell as well on that defensive line. They're pretty good up front.
As long as Seattle has Russell Wilson, they have a chance. That's why I don't worry too much. It's a tough quarterback division. And until I see Jimmy Garoppolo play an entire season with the pressure of playing a 16-game regular season with the bumps and the bruises and the attacks and the game planning, having to play the same team twice when they get a book on you, it goes both ways. Can Jimmy make plays? All those things, yeah. And then you have Josh Rosen in Arizona. We guarantee that he's going to start. Sam Bradford, you're going to let him start first, so don't worry about Josh Rosen. And then Jared Goff is Russell Wilson's the class of that division currently because nobody else has proved it yet. But they will. They'll get there.
Staying power, proving it over several years.
Well, yeah, he's a Super Bowl winner. There's no one else in there.
Goff has played really well. Played really well last year. Has got weapons and has a coach. Both coaching is a big thing, too. You got two great coordinators and offensive minds in Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay in L.A. and San Francisco, too. That's a fun division, man. It's going to be really fun to see.
Exciting.
All right. Madden ratings, man. They get these guys fired up. We'll take a trip down memory lane, look at Cam's best ratings that you had in Madden, plus the hurt feelings report that some players are filing with EA Sports. 8:15 on The Fan. All right, we got some NFL players that have got hurt feelings as somebody went to Van Halen for their first concert, by the way. That's a good one. That's badass.
Jump. Not Van Hagar. Van Halen.
One of the best movie quotes, most quotable movie quotes, is Van Halen, not Van Hagar. Mm-hmm. Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt, baby.
Joe Dierte. Joe Dirt, underrated or properly rated movie?
Properly rated.
I think it's underrated. A little bit underrated.
I saw Dierte. Two guys the other day in Home Depot. I wanted to take a picture and text it to you so bad, Dusty. They were two Joe Dirts. It was incredible. They had sleeveless.
You should have.
One had a Van Halen shirt on.
All right.
With the acid wash jeans tucked in, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had, the other one had, I think it was, oh, it was an Aerosmith shirt on.
Yeah.
And they were getting, they had sleeveless cut and they were in there discussing what stuff they needed to get for the job.
Yeah.
Both just gorgeous moules.
Good. Good for them.
And they were salt and pepper moules.
You know, and that's the thing.
So good. I should have just walked up, guys, please pose.
Yeah. That's what, if you got the salt and pepper, I saw what I call a silverback alpha, you know, silverback gorillas who you just walk in a room, you'd be like, that's the man.
Is that rude to do if you see somebody and you want to take a picture with them? Or you just go, okay, guys, can I get a selfie with you? Because you guys are beautiful.
Absolutely not.
So I've done that move before. The way I do it is you look exactly like one of my best friends. And then you're like, I just, you know, I gotta send this to my best friend.
It's on kind Halloween.
Of like, but what if it's two of them and you're like, you guys look great.
That's a little bit tougher.
Is that a little bit tougher? What would they do? They double bird me and
maybe.
Probably.
No, I don't know if they double. They might think you're weird.
They'd probably David Lee Roth scissor kick you in the face.
God, it was just spectacular. I wish I would have took a picture.
But I saw one of these guys at the old, where was I at? I think I went to Red Tail to go hit some balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one of these, what I endearingly call a silverback alpha, because it's the king of the jungle when you see these guys. He had a nice silver mullet, a silver handlebar mustache. He was wearing a black t-shirt that was a little bit oversized, and he had the sleeves rolled up. Okay, to almost cutoff length, you know, and then he was wearing cutoff jorts.
He's playing golf.
Frayed at the bottom.
Of course, absolutely frayed. That means they were washed.
Yeah, and high tops.
High tops. Oh, Chuck Taylors?
No, they were just generic.
Generics.
Generic high tops. And I was like,
Avias.
That guy does not give a rip.
Uh-uh. He's winning life.
What he's doing.
Yeah.
And he was buying some new golf equipment. Yeah, he was like, yeah, this is what I want, man. It's like when you roll up to the tee box and you see that man, one, you know you're in for a good time. Two, you know that no group's hitting into your group.
Nope, doesn't give a rip.
Because we got the alpha of the golf course. Mm-hmm. He owns the course when he walks on it.
Right.
You know?
You can take that country club mentality. You can shove it where the sun don't shine.
Yeah. And you know what number three is? You're never questioning that guy's score.
Yeah. What'd you get?
Birdie. All right.
Yes, you did.
All right, bro.
P1 Dustin thinks that Cam should just go ahead and photograph those guys next time. He says, well, Cam, you're a giant man. So they'll probably say, sure, whatever you want. Just don't hurt us.
Yeah,
next time you see the guys at Home Depot, just say, hey, I want a picture. And P1 Dustin thinks because your size, it won't be a problem.
I agree with that.
You don't have to do it in an intimidating fashion.
No, that's what I'm trying to come up with a smooth transition into that. And what would be the proper etiquette? Because these dudes were dudes. Yeah. And they were strutting in the aisle. And I was in the irrigation aisle because I was trying to fix my sprinklers. And they were getting some ready. Then they were heading over to the...
they're planting weed.
No, I don't know if they're playing weed, but I was just trying to figure out what's the best strategy to ask these guys. And if you have a good strategy, most people think you're making fun of them. I wasn't. I was just. I was in awe.
Yeah.
Of the mastery of how well they looked.
If you have a look, own it.
It was just like right? they
sounds
were,
like they were.
They
like,
were okay. buddies. You know what? They were driving a Trans Am. I swear to gosh. I mean, it was.
So you think about this, though. There are looks that we consider timeless, right? You know, it's a suit with a just solid tie, right? And a white shirt. Mm. Timeless. They've been wearing that for decades.
Are you going presidential on us?
You've got the high society. Mm-hmm. How long have they been wearing
the highfalutins?
Polo shirts with sweaters tied around their neck and khakis with pleats in them.
He comes to work every day. Swag does it every day.
It's a timeless look.
Popping collars.
Who's to say jorts and a cutoff can't be a timeless look for people? We sit there and we go, you know, a basic plain t-shirt and jeans. That's a timeless look. Why can't that be? If you have a look and you like it, own it. And who's to say you can't wear that forever?
I've shared my guilt. I rollerbladed around Green Lake in Seattle in jorts and a wife beater.
Nothing wrong.
And I thought I was the king's. I thought it was the S.
You might have been.
You were.
And the thing is that because I was rollerblading and I had my Oakleys on, remember the flat Oakleys? You know, talk about like the classic Oakleys.
You were wearing the jerk Oakleys, right?
Oh, God, I was wearing
the razors.
Not the razors, just the regular, like the
like
round.
The M frames.
The M frames. The regulars.
All right.
I spent like $80 on those things then, and it was super expensive. Idiot.
But they were all the rage.
Oh man, and I was blading it up. It was
I can see Cam doing the backwards rollerblade where it's God, like he's
it
doing the power
point.
To
it was
me,
such
like,
a low point. But you know what?
Spinning
I was
around.
One of 100.
Oh yeah, you
I
were.
Was one of I was I just slid right in there. Nobody even I mean it was like, oh, there's a really big guy rollerblading. Other than that, there was everybody was doing it.
But here's the thing, like you, for whatever reason, changed your look and you don't do that anymore.
I got off that train very quickly.
I don't think there is a single thing wrong with people that go, this is my look. I'm sticking to it. I actually appreciate what those people do because, hey, you do you.
And I'm going to be honest with you. When I'm 70, I'm going to be, if I'm lucky enough to be 70, when I make it there, you know, and I'm not in the dirt nap, I'm walking around in sweats and Jordan shorts and I'm going to have my Reef sandals on.
Yeah.
And you might make fun of me at 70, but when I'm wearing long Jordan shorts and Michael Jordan's 90, I mean, that's what I'm going to be sporting.
That is something though. That, like, my dad has reached the point of not, you know, he cares about what he looks like, obviously, but he'll wear socks and sandals. And it's like,
about made me spit my
it's like,
drink
Dad,
out.
What are you doing? They're comfortable. My toes get cold.
What kind of sandals? Tevas?
No, no, gosh, no. We're talking slides. Like, he'll wear slides.
Oh, okay, that one's not as bad. But if he's like, Teva guy.
No, he's got like he's wearing a pair of thongs with his toe.
You know what I'm talking about,
No,
that
that's
person?
Not what he's doing.
And we're talking ankle above the ankle. Yeah. We're talking calf socks, right?
Yeah, I mean, normal socks. He says shoes are too restricting. Give me my socks. Wow. Which, you know what? Mm-hmm. Built for comfort, baby.
There you go.
Built for comfort. So if you see us coming up to you and asking for a
should
picture,
I announce that I'm part of a group and I'm noticing and I'd love to put you on our promotion group and you guys look great. Should I do that?
Don't lie to him. Tell him the truth. Be like, I remember that look. I'm jealous of it.
Okay,
I want
a
picture.
Way to go.
Yeah, another texter says, just go up to them and say, you look rocking. Can I get a picture with you?
Yeah, that's what I think so. I'm doing it next time. If you guys are listeners out there and you know who I'm talking about, Home Depot, Clackamas. It was the Clackamas Home Depot. Okay. And if I can find you again, I want you to be part of this. If you see these guys, you'll know who I'm looking. So if you go to the Clackamas Home Depot and you're there and you see these two, you know who they are.
Something tells me
take a picture of it for
that
me.
They're still listening to rock.
Still.
They're not the talk radio types.
They got it over on KGON, I think.
I'm hoping. Yeah. I'm hoping they are.
All right. What was Cam Cleland's Madden ratings? I'll tell you next. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
Prison full effect. Uh-huh. You ready, Ron? I'm ready. You ready, dude?
I'm ready, Slick. Oh,
yeah. 8:34. Let's talk some Madden ratings. Girl, I must after Bell Biv DeVoe. Okay, I've got the traffic report on here.
You're good? You're all good, aren't you? 17 minutes.
You may be on your own because it keeps getting, the time keeps going back further and further.
17, 18 minutes?
It started at 17. Now we're at 22.
Okay.
Keeps going up.
Did you get yourself a TSA quick check free? Check entry,
no,
whatever
I'm
they call it?
I'm definitely going to get frisked. Yeah. I have no bags on me. Yeah. I'm just going to be rolling in like, hey, you're going to take a flight. And they're going to be like, yeah, bend over.
What kind of check are you going through?
Well, you don't know where things are hidden any these days, Cam.
Don't check your carry-on. I might have left you a surprise.
That's right. Okay. Madden ratings are out, and people are upset about it.
Players are. Not people. Players.
Players are. Everybody feels like they get snubbed. How dare Madden do this to me?
Are you not curious onto how they come up with these ratings and who's putting this together?
I am very curious.
And who are the nerds that are doing this? Or who are the sports aficionados that have to come up with an arbitrary number of 92 speed?
It is definitely a lot more refined now because the NFL gives EA Sports all of their tracking info.
Yeah.
You know, so like stamina stuff, top speed, all of those things. And then I don't know. Do they go on scouting reports? Do they go on, like, do they talk to coaches?
I think there's one guy in EA Sports at the Madden that just kind of goes, he's the sports guy. They're like, oh, Billy will tell us. Billy.
Yeah.
How fast is Josh Rosen?
92.
He's a 73. Yeah. That's it. 73, dude.
Oh, they
70,
have,
no higher than 70. I would get,
they have an Oracle?
I wouldn't give him any more than 74.
You slide some Doritos towards the Oracle.
Oh, you do.
And right. He eats a chip. He's like,
no, he's, you know who he is. He's the programmer pinnacle guy that just sits there in the desk and goes, let's go ask Steve. Steve knows. He knows this number.
Yeah. Tyrann Mathieu was upset, not at his Madden rating, but at the Arizona Cardinals. As Tyrann Mathieu was cut and is now playing for the Texans, he said, damn, I got cut and I'm a 93.
It's a great quote.
He came in as the fourth best safety in the league.
Yeah.
Only behind Harrison Smith, Eric Berry, Earl Thomas, Malcolm Jenkins, then Ty Mathieu at 93. Todd Gurley's fanboys got upset and said, tell EA Sports to fix your ratings. This is ridiculous, as he's the fourth best back.
Mm.
But he had actually a level head and was like, hey, it's a video game.
It's a video game. What do I care?
What do I care? But I love the guys who get upset and just Cam Hayward, what a joke.
What a joke.
Didn't make it top 15 defensive end.
So personal.
In the locker room, you were at kind of the front end of Madden's like growth and boom in popularity. Or late 90s, early 2000s is when people were like, you had to pick up the game and you had to play it.
Yeah.
It Did guys get upset when you were playing?
We didn't think about it that much, but I think it was more about worrying. Even the cover curse didn't even come in for quite some time. Mm. But no, we didn't really get too pumped up about it or worried. But I remember grabbing the first time I was ended up using myself on the game going, kind of slow. What's going on here? But my hands were good. And so, now it's pretty personal. Guys are taking it. Like, I think it was Baker Mayfield. He was a little bit salty.
Well, you should. You're a rookie. You haven't done anything yet.
Exactly.
Sorry you went.
Josh Allen was like, well, how do you have me rated lower than Baker Mayfield in speed? I ran a faster 40 than him. They were that sensitive.
Dorks.
Quarterbacks.
Do you know what your ratings were?
I have no idea. Zero. Which year? Give me the year.
2002.
Okay. Well, that was not a great year.
Well, this is when they started putting together the rosters.
I'm
going to
say really bad.
You overall were a 71. It's not bad. Your other tight ends.
That's a C.
Lamont, C's get degrees.
Lamont Hall was a 52.
I was faster than Lamont, for sure.
Joe Horn was an 85.
Okay, Joe Horn. Yeah, that's good.
Albert Connell,
yeah.
He was 72.
Yeah, I was faster than him. No, it's better rating.
No, you were one behind.
I was one behind Albert. That's okay.
They thought
bad.
You were slower than dirt. You were 64 speed.
That sucks. That does suck.
Steve Gleason was a 76 speed, if that gives you a frame of reference there.
All right, that's fair.
But who is the slow receiver that you had? Was it Willie Jackson?
Yeah, Wheeljack. We called him Wheeljack from the Transformers.
He was 81.
Yeah. Willie was awesome. He's a great guy.
Your catching was 69 this year. Nice.
Yeah, 69.
But they're saying you were more of a blocking tight end this year than a catching tight end.
That's unfortunate.
Does that offend you?
No, it doesn't offend me at all. I was rated. I was in a video game. Yeah. That's never going away.
You were. Your rating was pretty consistent over your career because when you went to New England the next year, you were a 70. And then your St. Louis years, you actually went back up what? It has your salary on here.
Does it?
You made $550,000 that year.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that.
Would you like to go through his tax records?
Would you like to have my tax returns also?
I'm not going to lie. You were not the highest rated tight end or highest paid tight end on that team.
No.
Brandon Monomaluna. He got paid over $1 million and you were better, my friend.
Oh, Brandon's an awesome dude.
You were a 70. He was a 66.
Yeah, Brandon was a big man. He went to Arizona. He was all of 310 pounds.
Your catching went up that year, though.
Yeah.
They said we may have slided him his first year in New Orleans.
Yeah. But Madden ratings, you know what?
You hovered.
Significantly important.
Cameron Cleland, you never dipped below 70.
Hey.
In all of your Madden ratings. And then you went back up your last year up to your last couple of years to 71.
Yeah.
That, hey.
71 comparable to what today? What would be a 71 player? It's a C average.
Buda Baker is a 79, and he's upset about that.
Wow. You need to do that because it was a Husky? Is that what you did? Is that you tried to do there?
Oh, no. That's just the only guy who complained about their rating. Oh, that was a 79.
All right.
But I didn't even think about that, though. Two Huskies. Maybe EA Sports, which is based in Vancouver.
Slided.
They hate the Huskies because they're based in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's fair.
That's not good.
Vancouver, BC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not Washington.
Not Washington.
No, not at all. Oh, Texans tight end Steven Anderson, 71. Just like you.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Do you think that, and you can fudge your numbers too? You can start to, you can change your numbers? You can create your own player and just make them all hundreds.
You can just go and edit yourself and change your position.
Change your position.
Everything.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember there was a commercial for one of the Madden games one of those years? And it was Robert Brooks of the Packers, and he was playing with himself as a player. And he got caught from behind after catching a ball, and he throws the controller down, and he goes, what? this game don't show my breakaway speed. And some like engineer with glasses goes, well, statistics say you have lost a step. That was like the first time I remember this Madden rating and players going up and down coming into existence.
No way.
It was like late 90s. I mean, he agreed to it. It was in the commercial.
Yeah, well, then it may have been set up. But
it was definitely set up.
If you look at that, though, I'd like to see the ratings before those years. Mm-hmm. Because like Bruce Feldman is putting out his freak list. You would have been on his freak list had you been in college now. Do you realize that?
Do you understand that when people
talk about you, when you read stuff about like your pre-draft stuff, that people considered you a freak because of your speed for your size and your explosiveness?
No, I don't. I never really paid attention to that because we didn't have as much notoriety as what they do now. They break down your hand size to the point of size, speed, hands, eyes, fingernail color. I mean, everything they do. They just scrutinize everything about you.
Because that was one of the things that, remember when Crawford looked up you were like one of the first years of fantasy football, like one of the first fantasy publications said that you were like the best tight end of that year. It was coming off your second year?
Yeah,
in the
first
NFL?
Year.
After your first year in the NFL, they're like, it said something, Crawford read it, was like, a freak athlete. And I'm wondering like what your rating would have been now that's more refined
those
and all
freak
that stuff,
things,
in tight end stuff.
Yeah, those on The Athletic, which is cool, those freak athletes that are now do that in college, that's something to read too, because the more I look at these guys and what they're able to do, how they grow and the size that they change, some of the guys are weigh 200 pounds now, they're 270, and what they're able to do, and the combine numbers have made us all be aware of how freakish some of these numbers are.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of dudes like that.
What was your top 40?
4.68.
At
272 pounds.
Woo!
Is that good?
Yes.
It's not bad.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, Cleveland. But now guys, there are guys that run that kind of stuff now. I mean, it was, maybe it was the overall
way. Sure, but
it was
that much more rare, you know, 20 years ago.
It was the overall ability to, I was a 450 bencher, 465. I mean, I cleaned over 400. I squatted over 700.
How many reps did you do on that 225?
Through 32.
See, and that's like that's the thing is that I wish you would like toot that a little bit, but you wouldn't and you don't because of the fact that like
it's part of your job. I consider it part of my job, though. That was what you had to do to get it to that level. That's where
a majority of the guys that were even doing the job didn't do that or couldn't do it.
Yeah,
because they either had one or the other. You know?
I was more proud that I could vertical 37, 38, that I could still dunk. That was like watching Gronk when he videotapes those guys. We still jump. I mean, I got a shot of me dunking over the goalpost, and I still remember doing it. Now you get in trouble for that. Now Jimmy Graham ruined that for everybody. So forget you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Ruined it. He bent the whole post. It's awful.
Yeah, delayed a game. Delayed a whole game. All right. We get you set for the day on the fan and put a bow on this one. Dustin Cam. All right. I'm getting ready to head on out, my man. I'm going down to Tahoe for the weekend. I'm going to be at the American Century Championships Celebrity Golf Tournament.
Are you going to hang out on the beach or try to get on the boat, beachside? Are you going to walk around?
Nah, we're not going to do a boat, but we're going to do. We're going to be out there partying hard for sure.
I will be honest with you. That was my life goal, to be able to be good enough and popular enough to get an invite. Because my good friend Billy Joe Tolliver has won that event twice, former quarterback, and he's like, Cam, I'll get you in, I'll get you in. Never got in.
Well, that's rude of him.
I know. That's a pretty cool event. It's one of my favorite events to watch on
TV. You're
definitely
good enough to play in it. There's some Barkley plays in it.
Yeah, but that's A-list stars that are playing in that.
Well,
it's funny though, because I've been to it. There's like a sliding scale though. If you're really good at golf, you don't have to be quite as popular. Like there's this soap star that plays in it every year because he's like a scratch golfer and he contends every year. And I think most people don't know who he is, but he's in it because
he's great football stars playing.
Marcus Allen, Jared Allen, Ray Allen, Charles Barkley this is alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Jerome Bettis, Blake Bortles, Reggie Bush, Tim Brown, Joe Carter, Vince Carter, Roger Clemens, Dell and Steph Curry, Johnny Damon, Vinny Del Negro.
I interviewed him there.
Terrell Davis, Dilfer,
Trent Dilfer.
I'll beat up Trent Dilfer and you just come down. And you
just take a picture with him.
I wish I could do that. I could.
Herm Edwards.
I'm slimming out, so I'm starting to look more like him.
Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald.
Nice.
Doug Flutie.
Flutie Flakes.
Ooh, Eric Gagne.
Is Mark Mulder in there?
Mark Mulder?
Because I think he's like
he's a perennial
champ. Three-time champion.
Mark Mulder is in it. Kevin Nealon's
probably the favorite
to
win.
Nice.
Yeah. Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle. Former vice president Dan Quayle.
I'm going to ask him to spell potato. Do you remember that?
I bet he knows how now.
That was a presidential scandal when our vice president lost a spelling bee to a kid because he couldn't spell potato.
How times have changed.
We've evolved so far. It's a cool NBC event to watch because Steph Curry will be a guy that I think might win it this year. Watch Steph. He's going to be he's a guy.
Contend.
Yeah, he will contend. He will be there. Of the athletes that are currently on rosters, look for Tony Romo because he just won his first event, amateur event, by 9 shots. Mm. So I don't think Tony's playing in it. Is
Romo
he on
is.
It? Okay, so Romo is my betting favorite along with Steph Curry for current athletes to get it. Not former athletes,
Tony
current.
Romo is a former athlete.
Yeah, he is former. That's right. Okay, that far removed. So I go current is Steph is the one I think the most. Ray Allen would be another guy, but he's a former athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the current guys that are going to play in this?
Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Alex Smith.
No. Alex Smith, not bad.
Golden Tate. Adam Thielen.
Ooh.
So Mark Mulder is favored at 8-5. Tony Romo, 2-1.
2-1.
Mm.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh, I got the guy I'm partying behind. David Wells.
David Wells. I can pitch a drunk no-hitter.
They didn't stop. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this. So I'm going to be gone the next couple days, but I'll put some stuff on social media. Willie Robertson, the Duck Dynasty guy, will be there.
Nice.
They've got Steph Curry at 15-1. They've got John Smoltz at 10-1.
Smolty.
Aaron Rodgers at 30-1.
No, he's not named yet.
Urban Meyer's going to be there.
Urban Meyer.
Blake Bortles, Jared Goff will be there.
Who's the best? I mean, other than Steph Curry, is there any other current basketball players that are going to be playing?
I don't see any.
Now, Vince Carter's still technically playing. It's
true.
20 or 21st season.
Dad? Huh. He's old, man.
Dad.
Vince Carter, who has played against Steph Curry and played with Del Curry.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, he played. Del and Vince Carter played together in Toronto when Steph and Seth were running around.
Literally, dad.
I mean, we think about that. Yeah, I remember.
Because Del's last year was what? In Charlotte.
Yeah. 98. Yeah. Well, Vince Carter was
99.
Right? But when you think about
that,
like we're going like, oh, wow, that's incredible. Ken Griffey Sr. played with his son.
Yeah, back-to-back home runs like with his son.
LeBron James will probably play with his son.
Laker.
And we're like, oh, wow, Vince Carter played with both of them. Well, those guys may play together.
It's timeless age.
Did you see the similar stat about Bartolo yesterday against the Red Sox? That the Red Sox coaching staff had more at-bats against Bartolo Colon than the current average active lineup of the Red
wonderful.
Sox did.
Is hilarious.
It was like 65 at-bats to 62. It obviously changed after the game, but going in, that was the number.
Bartolo that is one Colon, chubby legendary superstar right
the
there.
The gift that keeps on giving.
So good.
He really
Bartolo!
Is. Bartolo Colon! All right, we will see you tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. You and Luke in here, partying it up.
I think so.
Right here. All right, have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday right here on 1080. The Fan up next is the Herd of Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon to 3, during its break, 3 to 7, primetime. Isaac and Suk, then the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec, 7 to 8 p.m. We'll see you Friday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.